and welcome to Kidlit Classics, a podcast where children's authors, booksellers, and publishing professionals share the children's books that they love the most and that inspired them to follow their own path into the kidlit industry. I'm your host, Sam Ellen Bound, and today I'm chatting with Alsa Wild. So Alsa was a professional whipcracker who ran away from the circus to become a writer. She is now an author, performer, and community artist with a history of deep collaboration. Her junior fiction series includes Squishy Taylor and the Naughtiest Pixie, her 2016 YA graphic novel, The Invisible War, won many awards, and she is the lead writer of Small Friends Books, where she works with microbiologists and other scientists to create science adventure picture books. She's also written nonfiction books for grown-up and hosts a podcast, the Dementia Podcast, Starting Conversations. My fellow podcast host, welcome to Kidlit Classics.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's so fun to be with you.
Today, we're going to be talking about The Dark is Rising by Susan Cooper, which is actually the perfect book to be talking about because this is our last episode before our Christmas break. And this whole book sort of centers around the lead up to Christmas and over the Christmas season. So The Dark is Rising is actually the second of a five-book series published in the 1960s and 1970s, known as The Dark is Rising sequence. So it sort of depicts a centuries-long struggle between good and evil, or the light and the dark, as it's called. So The Dark is Rising, as I said, was the second book published in 1973, and it was a Newbery Honor book. And I do actually think a couple of books that came after did end up winning the Newbery as well. So I always knew about this book as a classic fantasy series. It was always on my radar, but my first introduction to it was actually the 2007 movie The Seeker, right, which I did not enjoy. Yeah. I think that would, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, look, I don't think it was critically well received, and I personally didn't enjoy it. And so in my mind then I was like, oh, I thought these books were like, you know, meant to be a really great classic. So that put me off reading them for a while, but later obviously I read them and adored them. What was your introduction to these books? When did you first read them?
So I don't actually remember. I was quite little. So I might have been 10. I might have been in year four. But my mum definitely bought them for me. I think my mum bought me the first two, Oversea Under Stone and The Dark is Rising. And I think that the Oversea Under Stone was read to me as a bedtime story with myself and my brother. And I think I read The Dark is Rising by myself.
Yeah, because Oversea and Under Stone, I think it was actually published for a slightly, it isn't as dark as some of the other ones, and it was such a good rollicking adventure. It reminds me a lot of like the E. Nesbitt books. So I think that's a great read aloud bedtime story, whereas The Dark is Rising may have been a bit more traumatic. All right, so before we go on to talk a little bit further about why you love these books and how they influence you, tell us a little bit about what The Dark is Rising about. What happens in it?
Okay, so the main character is Will, and he is the seventh son of a seventh son. So he's the youngest child in a big family, and it's set just in the lead up to his birthday, which is, I can't remember if his birthday is actually Christmas or it's just the day before, or just the day after. So it's the lead up to his birthday, the lead up to Christmas. It's a wintry south of England kind of vibes. And the whole book is Will learning that he has a whole bunch of magical powers. And those magical powers sit in a whole mythic framework, which she's obviously a really well-read, well-researched writer who looked into kind of English mythology, also kind of spreads into Roman history. And there's this complex mythological world, which Will, the main character, he has to face the dark, which is rising. So the evil is rising in Will's time, and Will has to fight the dark.
Yeah. So it's a real, I think it's sort of a slower burn than a lot of the fantasy books that we might read today, but it's definitely that sort of sense of epic adventure. And although each book does stand alone in the series, the characters and the storylines all interweave and interlap. And it is, as you say, a very, very complex story world that does draw on a lot of myth and a lot of legend, but very rewarding as well.
You know, there's elements of Arthurian legend, and you can tell that she's drawn bits from a whole bunch of different Arthurian legend writers. So there's bits from The Once and Future King that are really obvious. So if you've watched the I feel like there's a Disney Merlin movie, and the same elements where Will opens the book and becomes a hawk. It's like the same moment that she's drawn from The Once and Future King that's also in the old Disney. Oh, what's it? The Sword in the Stone. It's the old Disney Sword in the Stone.
And it's quite
so
dark.
There's like elements of that. Yeah, yeah. And there's like quite, I kind of like the scariness of it. And I definitely, that was something that I loved as a kid.
Yeah, the dark is rising. It is, they are, well, it's in the title, the dark is rising, but they definitely have, there's a very real sense of dread, I think, and legitimate evil in these books. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about, why did you choose The Dark is Rising as your kid lit classic? Why is this such a special book for you?
Well, I think partly because I owned it, I read it over and over again, and then books. So I owned books 1 and 2, and books 3, 4, and 5 were in the local library, and I would have borrowed them all three, you know, a whole bunch of times. I read them all over and over again. I loved the characters. I loved the world. And I think for me, part of it was that feeling of history and of this story being part of something bigger. And I just wanted to know more. Like I wanted to, once I'd read it, I wanted to read the Arthurian legends. And I definitely studied Arthurian history at uni, partly because I read this book. And I feel like it made the world bigger. Reading the book made the world bigger for me. And I felt like that's what I wanted to do with my books. I didn't want to write this story that was kind of enclosed you into a story world. I love the idea of a story that opens you out into the rest of history and literature. And I love that about this book, this whole series, actually.
Yeah, I think that is what's really great about a lot of these classic, I mean, not just classic kid lit, all kid lit, but it can often be the entry point into not only what you go on to read, but just interests and things that capture your imagination. You feel like that book is sort of written especially for you, and that's probably why they become such special and important and memorable books for us. So I also really loved, sort of like you, I love that they mixed the Arthurian legend, and there was, because I'm, you know, a big folklore buff, there's Norse mythology and folklore in there, Celtic, British, just this glorious mishmash. And it's very similar to a few weeks ago, I was speaking to, for this podcast, Karen Ganane about The Weird Stone of Brisingamen. And these two books are very similar in that they portray so well the idea of that deep, unknowable world that sits just below the surface of our world. And it's fascinating. And this, The Dark is Rising, has such a strong atmospheric sense of, you know, like this old evil rising, and it's imbued in the landscape and it's imbued in the seasons. And it just has that sense of dread that builds and builds and builds, you know, this idea of magic that's drawn up from the guts of the earth. It's terrifying and it's fascinating. And I think a lot of that, of course, is also Susan Cooper's beautiful prose. Her writing is, it reminds me of Ursula Le Guin actually quite a lot. She just writes in such an enthralling, descriptive way. I love her writing.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying about landscape as well, it's so, the landscape is so present in the story, that feeling of what is happening with the nature is really close to the characters, and I do love that, and she writes it really beautifully.
Yeah, for sure. So we've sort of touched on it a little bit, but did The Dark Is Rising have an influence on you, on, you know, what you then went on to write yourself, or the kind of books that you, I love that you said you studied this in uni as a result of the book. That's amazing. So did it sort of, you know, influence your interest in what you like to read and write?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was one of the early fantasy books that I read, and then I sought out other similar books. So I read, you know, Alan Garner after that, and I was hunting down, I was like, oh, it's Welsh mythology. Yes, I want to read that. And I think for me, you know, it was one of my early experiences of just being deeply, deeply in a story and being completely swept away, reading the whole book at one in one sitting, if I possibly could. And I think for me, that's what I want to give my readers. So while my books, you know, my books are junior fiction and they definitely don't go as deep and dark as this. They're the thing that I want to do most of all is sweep people away and give them that sense of just being deeply in the adventure, which is what I got from these books, and not caring about the outside world because I am just right here with this character, finding things out and experiencing the threat and being with the whoever else is on the adventure with me together.
Yeah. No, that's a, I mean, that's a, even a great feeling as an adult, but as a kid, yeah, I remember it's like, you know, the sort of cliche you're reading, it's like 2 a.m. and you're reading under the covers when, you know, you should be in bed. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we want when we read, really.
Like there was definitely for me summer days when I was in bed reading books and my mom was like, get out and get some fresh air. And I was like, no, I need to be in the midwinter in the south of England right now.
Battling horrible evil. So in The Dark Is Rising, and I mean, you're welcome to say something from, you know, I mean, we're talking about book two, but you're very welcome to say something from any of the five books. Is there a particular character or scene that made a really lasting impression on you?
So there's a scene in The Dark Is Rising, which is this moment where the powers of the dark have kind of really descended where Will is, and it's icy cold. It's just gotten cold. The power's gone out, and the whole village is collected in one hall. Basically, and Will is looking around, and everyone's cold and wrapped in blankets, and you know there are people, old people who are unwell, and then this kind of mythical character rises up out of the crowd and starts to call in the dark in this kind of chanting way, and I think there's something about the way that that character chants that it, I'm definitely. I don't, I can't, he calls come, 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 and he's calling the different elements of the dark into the room. And why is it stuck with me? I don't know. It just feels really compelling.
No, I agree. That was what I would have said as well. Like, I can't
That
remember.
wasn't the bit where you wanted me to read.
No, it isn't, but that was the scene that I think it's like, you know, it's this, they know it's sort of as like an old lady who they always go to sing to or something every Christmas. She loves hearing them sing. So they, because Will's, you know, has a nice voice and they're in a choir. I remember there was some element of that in the scene as well. But yeah, I remember that too. Just all of them gathered in, maybe it was a hall. I seem to think it was like this lady's house, but it probably was a hall.
Yes.
And I remember that
No,
too. Like,
yes. Like I think it's a hall in her house.
yeah. But yes, I do remember that sense of utter dread. You're just so compelled by what is this and what is going to happen. It's just enthralling. So that was my standout scene as well. So obviously she did something right when writing that scene.
Yeah. And there's a moment in that scene, he's Will's slipping between times as well, I
Yeah.
think. And there's a bit where they're singing Good King Wenceslas. And now every Christmas, when anybody's singing Good King Wenceslas, I'm with Mi Will and Merriman, who is actually Merlin. Sorry to give away all the spoilers.
Do
But
you know that Good King Wenceslas is actually my favorite Christmas Carol. So I wonder if that is also the reason why it's a great Christmas Carol.
I'm really fond of Cooking Wenceslas, and it's definitely because of this book.
Okay, so do you still hear The Dark is Rising being talked about today? Do you see it sort of that it has echoes, you know, in today's stories, today's fiction? If you start talking about The Dark is Rising, do you think that people know what you're talking about, adults and kids?
A little bit. I don't know about kids. I don't know if kids are reading it. I definitely know that it's something that resonated with a bunch of people. It still hangs around in the memories of people who were reading children's fiction in the 80s, 70s, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know if kids are reading it now. I do know that there's a radio play and it's coming out. Possibly it will be out by the time this podcast is recorded, but they're doing it as a kind of advent, as a 12 days of Christmas.
That's cool.
This December. Yeah. So you might be able to hunt it down.
Yeah.
I think it's with BBC.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely have a look. It's Christmas is the time to read this book, for sure. Think I sort of said before, but I think because it is a slower burn than what kids are used to now. And of course, you know, there's so many epic fantasies that are so popular now. So I feel that maybe because it is that slower style of falling into a world and also writing that maybe kids aren't used to. So maybe that's sort of why it's, I guess, fallen out of the spotlight or fallen out of favor. But I think still what's really great is that we know a lot of contemporary writers are probably, they also read Susan Cooper. So probably, you know, their own writing and their own world building is reflected in, you know, is inspired by Susan Cooper as well. So she probably reaches us that way. So we would love, Elsa, you and I, we would love if people picked up The Dark is Rising. What contemporary books for children would you compare it to as a way to entice new readers in?
Well, I was thinking about the Percy Jackson series in that the kind of really deep references to a particular mythology. So the kids who have gotten into that idea of a story that references a mythology through Percy Jackson might get into this book. I was also thinking about anyone who's read the Philip Pullman Northern Lights books, kind of more for the rich world building and the kind of beautiful poetry of the language. Those are the two books I was thinking about.
Yes, they're great choices. And I will also, this isn't a contemporary book, but because we have already discussed it on this podcast, I am once again going to say Alan Garner. And actually Karen, when she was talking about similar books, did say The Dark is Rising as well. Just if you read The Dark is Rising and you love that sense of ancient magic infused into landscape, then Alan Garner is your man.
Mm.
So
yeah, I love Alan Garner.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Of the Alan Garners?
Yeah.
The Owl Service.
Yeah. Me. Yeah.
I love The Owl Service. And so much of it, if you reread it now, I don't know if you've reread it recently, but it's told in dialogue. Like, it's just like the whole book is told in dialogue. It's amazing. And the voices of the three main characters are so beautifully done.
Yeah, that was actually the first Alan Garner book that I read, even before The Weird Stone of Brisingamen. And I agree. And just the way it uses Welsh folklore and mythology. I'm glad you said The Owl Service. Good choice. Okay, so we've talked quite a lot about the beautiful language of The Dark is Rising. So now I think we need to hear some of it in action. So Elsa, will you please read us a little bit from the book?
Yes, I would love to. I'm reading from actually very early on. It's only a few pages in, so it's from the first chapter. I have to tell you that James is Will, our main character's slightly older brother, and Mr. Dawson is the farmer down the road who we might find out a little bit more about later on. The rooks are making an awful din today, James said. Will saw a tramp up by the wood. Mr. Dawson looked at Will sharply. What was he like? Just a little old man. He dodged away. So, the walker is abroad, the farmer said softly to himself. Ah, he would be. Nasty weather for walking, James said cheerfully. He nodded at the northern sky over the farmhouse roof. The clouds there seemed to be growing darker, massing in ominous grey mounds with a yellowish tinge. The wind was rising too. It stirred their hair, and they could hear a distant rustling from the tops of the trees. More snow coming, said Mr. Dawson. It's a horrible day, said Will suddenly, surprised by his own violence. After all, he had wanted snow, but somehow uneasiness was growing in him. It's creepy somehow. It will be a bad night, said Mr. Dawson. There's old George with the hay, said James. Come on, Will. You go, the farmer said. I want Will to pick something for your mother from the house. But he did not move. As James pushed the handcart off towards the barn, he stood with his hands thrust deep into the pockets of his old tweed jacket, looking at the darkening sky. The walker is abroad, he said again, and this night will be bad, and tomorrow will be beyond imagining.
Amazing. What a great scene you've chosen. Absolutely, that personifies everything we've been talking about, that building sense of dread, the beautiful language, how Susan Cooper evokes like landscape to, it's almost like they're another character. Great selection. And I'm glad that the tramp was mentioned as well. I forgot about that character. That's like a really great example of a classic character where it's just so tragic, and it's kind of like, you know, that you should hate them, but it's actually really quite sad. I do remember that now, the tramp.
Yeah, he's such an important character, and that I guess the reveal about who he is just such an important moment in the story, and yeah, totally devastating.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we go, I would love it if you could give us a quick rundown of what you're working on lately.
Okay, apart from my podcast, which is not really for this audience, but I am working on, and I think it does, there are moments from Susan Cooper that are deep in my psyche that are working their way into this book. I am working on a spooky middle grade book set in a haunted theater. And there's a moment where one of the characters stands on stage and calls in the bad guys in a chanting kind of a tone, and I there is no doubt at all that I lifted that straight out of Susan Cooper.
That sounds amazing, because theater, is it set in like an old, you know, one of those really old beautiful theaters as well?
Yes, it is. I was inspired, you know, when we went into lockdown really early on, and there was a couple of articles about the idea of a ghost light, which is all the other lights get turned off in a theater when the theater is abandoned due to a pandemic or other things, but there's one light left on the stage, and it's, they call it the ghost light.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that really tugged at me, and I thought, ooh, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I read a whole bunch of Goosebumps books and was like, oh yeah.
Oh, I'd love it if someone talked about Goosebumps, actually. That would be amazing. Imagine that. Fans of Goosebumps.
Well, I think they are a significant cultural something, those books. And people read them compulsively. So there's something important about them, I reckon.
I know, but I remember because, you know, they were like, I think they were really cheap, so they were so easy to collect, and there's all the cool covers they had. I actually have like a box set, like a 20, no, 30, now that I'm looking at it, a 30 set box set of Goosebumps. Love it. It's pride of place on my bookshelf.
Oh, Sam. So there was a Goosebumps book, which I'm sure I've read, but then sometimes I think I'm making it up, which was a take on The Picture of Dorian Gray. But it's like a teenage girl with a photograph of herself, and then the photograph of herself gets more and more and more creepy up in the attic. And I've never found it again, but it's definitely like goes beat for beat picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah, that's, it's not the Say Cheese and Die. It's not that one, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, now I'm intrigued because it is, I think you're right. All right, I'll suss it out. I'll put the links in the show notes. But your book sounds amazing. Yes, I can't wait to see what happens with that one. Susan Cooper, watch out. All right, Elsa, well, that brings us to the end of our chat. It's been amazing. Also, once again, The Dark is Rising is one of my favorite children's fantasy series. So love that you chose it. So thank you so much for coming on KidLit Classics.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun to talk with you about Susan Cooper because I love Susan Cooper and I'm so glad that you do too.
And to everyone who is intrigued, if you don't have your battered 70s, 80s, 90s copies, Elsa showed me a copy of hers before. It was amazing, like a legit old school, well-read copy. It was awesome. These books are still readily available. In fact, they're the copies I have, some new, it was a anniversary edition, I think. So they're still readily available for you to buy or to borrow. So definitely check those out.
Awesome.
Lovely. So listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are loving KidLit Classics, please like, share, leave a review, and stay tuned for future episodes next year where we will have even more guests. And if you are interested in being a guest and sharing your favorite book, please do get in touch with me via socials or on my website, SamanthaEllenBound.com.